Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, without God in our lives, as humanity, there's no light. There's no light to see or experience His purpose and His joy that comes into our hearts through His divine purpose. And that's the experience that the world has without Him. And in Isaiah chapter number 9, verses 2 through 7, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. You have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. Verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Hallelujah, Jesus. You can be seated in the house of God today. What a beautiful passage. I've read this quite often lately, especially the last part that we read. But I want to preach to you about love, when love shines down. I'm going to ask a question that you may not want to answer out loud, but I want you to answer it at least to your heart and to your mind. Have you ever felt the darkness of life close in around you? Many times in the church house, we are unwilling to admit the darkness that is in our lives, that we're experiencing in our heart. And the lives that we fear, the fear of judgment. And today, I really believe that God wants to minister to each of us today. And if we're honest, we would find that maybe we are walking in darkness. There's a darkness that comes from sin, but there's a darkness that comes from living in a world of sin. And so today, I'm here to encourage you. I feel the Holy Ghost wants to encourage and to let His love flow in this place today to put strength and to put joy into our lives. But sometimes we're not honest enough about where we are in our lives to let the light do its work in our lives, because we don't want to admit that we're feeling the effects of darkness. Yes, if you're living in sin, you're going to have darkness in your life. But there's people in this house that are living in righteousness, but situations of your life make it feel dark in your life. There's uncertainty about certain situations in your family. There's maybe anxiety or depression trying to creep in based on experiences of the past, based on what's going on right now in your life. But I'm here to tell you that God gave a promise that His light would come into the darkness. Maybe right now you feel the darkness closing in around you. That's not an indictment of where you are in your spirit. It's just the reality of living in a world that's broken by sin. We're not living in a world where everything is under the authority of God as far as the active voluntary commitment of people's lives to Jesus. You and I can commit our lives to Jesus, but we can't control other people's commitment to Jesus. And so because of that, there's unwanted circumstances in my life and in your life. But God promised through his prophet that in the day of his coming, that those that walked in darkness would see a great light. And I'm here to proclaim that at this time when we remember the coming of Jesus Christ, when we remember his coming and celebrate Christmas, that when Jesus came, why can we sing about joy to the world? The Lord has come. And why can we sing of great joy and yet see sadness around us, feel even sadness in moments of our lives, look at situations and say, it's not the way it should be, but yet say joy to the world? The answer to that is what I believe God wants to get into our hearts this morning. In John chapter number 1, in verses 1 through 5, we see the coming of Jesus is given in this perspective. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. When you read that, you can understand that maybe let me help you. The darkness could not comprehend it. Means it couldn't understand it, but it doesn't just mean that. It means that the darkness could not overcome it. When Jesus came, the darkness could not stop him from coming. And the darkness could not stop him from doing the work that he intended to do. When God came in flesh, it was his loving act shining into the darkness of our chaos and our brokenness that has been fueled by sin. This sin and darkness cannot overcome the light of Jesus. I'm here to celebrate with you that yes, the darkness is still in this world. And yes, Jesus would say it this way: in this world you will have tribulations. Yet be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus was saying, you're going to experience pressure. You're going to experience ups and downs. You're going to experience even perceived defeats, but I want you to be encouraged in the middle of it to understand that everything the world throws at me, I'm going to overcome it. In fact, I've already overcome it. And so he's looking at his children and he's saying, you're in darkness, but understand you have light with you. You are with me in the light. There's darkness around you. Understand, we've got to get this in our heart. Understand, because you can see the darkness doesn't mean that you have to be in the darkness. And even when you step into the light of Jesus, it doesn't mean that you won't see the darkness around you. And because I'm flesh and blood, when I see the darkness around me dysfunction in my family, perhaps, when I see the darkness around me, that there's sickness in my body that the doctors still can't explain. When I see the darkness around me, that my finances are strained. When I see the darkness around me, that people are fighting wars around the world, and somehow we're going to probably at some point be on the fringes of experiencing some of that. That does not mean that you are in darkness. You and I have the beautiful privilege to be comforted in the darkness because Jesus is with us in the darkness. Jesus, by his love, reached into my life and shines with his love into my life. I'm so thankful for the light of Jesus. I'm so thankful for the light of Jesus. God wants to work in your life and in my life in this moment to give us a courage and a joy, yes, to come alive inside of us that defies the darkness that's all around us. It's the love of God that preemptively works in my life and your life. It's because of God's love that he looks at chaos. He looks at darkness. He looks at brokenness. And he steps in and becomes involved. In the very beginning of creation, as we just read reference to, bringing it together into full picture, is that God looked at chaos and darkness, and he was compelled to become involved. And so his spirit began to move on the waters of the darkness that had no purpose and that was filled with chaos. And then he spoke, "Let there be light," and there was light. And when the light shined into this world, then purpose was given birth to. And the rest of the creation story is the active work of God's love. And when Jesus came on the in flesh, and he was born in that manger, he was lovingly reaching to you and I. Understand that if you can embrace that it's his love that gets involved in your life, then the circumstance that you're in right now doesn't have to be what notifies you what emotion to embrace. I'm not saying what emotion to feel, because we feel things that we can't control, that we feel them, but we can choose. What am I going to grab hold of? What emotions am I going to grab hold of? That's why David would say, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. He was overwhelmed. It wasn't that he had it all in control, so he went to the rock. No, he went to the rock because he felt overwhelmed. I'm here to thank God today and for you to listen in and hopefully become re-energized and re-encouraged to know that Jesus is the light of the world, and he's come and he came with love so that we could stand and live in light rather than darkness. Even though we were walking in darkness, we can see the great light of Jesus, the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Jesus said it this way in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John would write later that he loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Jesus coming to earth is an act of love. And if we can understand, if we can just grab hold of a love that we can't completely comprehend, because we're broken enough to have agendas of our own. We're broken enough to be working angles to get what we want so often as humanity. But there's a God who preemptively, actively loved you and I enough to come in flesh. And he didn't come to condemn, because condemnation was already here, but he came to redeem that those that would embrace him, those that would believe in him, they would not perish. The darkness would not overcome them. The darkness wouldn't be the end of the story. I'm here to tell you that the darkness that you walk in, it's going to be in your life to one degree or another until you breathe your last breath on this earth. But that is not the end. Jesus came to bring everlasting life. I'm not living for just today. I'm here to encourage you. Though sorrow may last for a time, joy, it comes in the morning. Why? Because Jesus loves you and I, and he shines into my life and into your life. Oh, the Holy Ghost has been calling the church near to him. Understand, yes, we've even been emphasizing it lately. He's been calling us to him because he has a work for us to do. But understand, more than the work that he has for you and I to do is the fact that he wants to overwhelm your life with his love. He wants you to learn to abide in his love, to understand that you are loved for who you are. And preemptively, he says, you cannot control your life. You cannot add a measure to your height. You cannot add hairs to your head. But the one that can loves you and will walk with you in the darkness. When love shines in, I'm so thankful for the love of Jesus Christ. He said he loved the world, so he came. In Luke chapter number 2, verse number 9 through 14, we find the response of the shepherds when they got the news of the coming of Jesus. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Hallelujah. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Verse number 17, now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child, and all those who heard it marveled at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, and it was told them. So you notice the joy that was the response of those shepherds. But yet, I don't think their situation changed at all. They were still in the middle of oppression. They still had to go back to grinding out life. They still had a lot of unanswered questions. And yet there was joy in their heart. Why? Because they embraced the love of God enough to say, it's no longer about my circumstance. It's about who's with me in my circumstance and where he's taking me to. This is the key to joy in the church, that we ought to live in joy. It's when we let the love of God shine into our hearts through the Holy Ghost and we embrace his love enough to say, I might still feel insecure in moments of my life. I may still wonder why I am the way I am. I may still wonder why the world is the way it is. I may still not be certain about what's going on in my life. I may not have control over my emotions in every moment of my life. But this one thing I know, that Jesus has come in his love into my life, and he won't leave me alone. And therefore I know that though the darkness close in around me, the light of God is in my life, and he won't leave me, and he will take me through to the other side. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for that. You see, this is not just philosophy and good thoughts to get us through, but it's the reality of the matter that I cannot control the day to day, and you cannot control the day to day, but there is a God that even though he gives free will, he will not allow it to destroy those that trust in him. I'm so thankful for the love of God. Our choice, it's got to be to receive his love and receive who he is, and let that be the bedrock of what informs me of whether there's hope for my future. What lets me know that I have hope and purpose in my future is not, listen to me, there are good things that God does, and when he does good things and shifts situations in my life, I'm thankful for it, and it gives me witness of his power, and it gives me witness of his sovereignty. But the witness of his love is that he's with me when it doesn't change. Is that he loves me in spite of the darkness around me. Because the truth of the matter is that there's none of us that are perfected yet. And so, yes, when we come to Jesus, there's greater darkness around than within. But the truth is, there's inconsistencies in me still that don't align with God. But his love is enough to walk the journey with you. His love is enough to say, I'm taking you through the darkness with will not overcome you. The darkness will not stop what I want to do in your life. I will walk with you. I'm in this for the long haul with you, and you are not alone in the darkness. He won't leave you alone in the darkness. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you just talk to Jesus for just a moment? I want Jesus to interrupt us. Jesus, hallelujah, Lord, there's more in my notes, God, and I'll speak what you tell me to, but God, Lord, there's got to be the ministry of your spirit right now, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray, oh God, that the fears, I pray in the name of Jesus that the anxiety, I pray in the name of Jesus that the depression, oh God, that is pushing in, oh Lord, would be overcome right now with your light, oh God. That your light, Jesus, of your love would shine brightly right now in your people, Lord. That they would recognize that you love them. That they would recognize that you won't leave them alone. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You see, God, by His love, is reaching to you and I to work His purpose in our lives, that the darkness cannot frustrate the purpose of God. Outside pressures cannot frustrate the purpose of God. The only thing that frustrates the purpose of God is our unwillingness to believe and just keep on the journey. If you stumble in unbelief, just keep on the journey. Get your hand in the hand of Jesus and say, I'm not giving up on what you said you'd do in my life. I'm not giving up on you making me who you want me to be. Why? Because Jesus came. He didn't come for the purpose of rearranging every economic and every political structure on this earth. He came to rearrange the brokenness of the heart filled with sin. That's what He came to do. And when you say, Jesus, I believe that you love me, and I'm going to get on that journey, let your love shine in me, I'm telling you, He's going to make you like Him. He's going to make you beautiful. He's going to define you as treasured. He's going to tell you you're loved. He's going to tell you that you're enough. He's going to tell you that you are His child. He loves you. What did He come to do? In John chapter number 1, it says, what did He come to do? He came to those that believe in Him. He gave them the power to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When you step into Jesus, when He steps into your life and you open doors of your heart wide open and say, yes, I believe, Jesus. I believe that you are who you say you are and that I am who you say that I am. Light shines. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful, Jesus, that you're working and you'll finish what you started in me. In 1 John 1 verse 4, He said this, and these things I write to you that your joy may be full. That song, Joy to the World. The Lord has come. We can sing that without joy in our heart, but that's not the design of God. He's saying He wants your joy to be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Let me just break this down for just a moment. He's saying here that the design of God is for joy to come in your life and to be full in your life. Because when Jesus is in your life, there's no darkness at all. There's only light in God. There's no darkness at all. And if we walk in darkness, then we're not with Him. What He's talking about there, because then it goes on to explain it as we just read, but He's not talking about that there's not darkness around you. He's saying that there's not darkness in your life as in sin. You see, every darkness outside of your life is a result of sin one way or another. But when you let Jesus begin to work in your heart and in your life, you're no longer in the darkness. The darkness can be around you. There can be situations that become so pressure filled that you feel like the darkness is a quarter inch from you on either side, but the darkness cannot come into your soul if you will say, Jesus, I believe what you say. Jesus, you love me. I'm treasured. You're with me, and you're making me your own. I'm yours, and you're not done with my life. You're still working on me. And that's why we can then confess our sins when we are wrong. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins as we walk in the light of Jesus. What is it about this world that wants to press in on you? It's trying to defy the truth of God's love and his active work on Calvary. Everything that presses in when there's bills due and the pressure's there and you don't know what to do. The bills will speak that you have to take care of it yourself and you've done all you can and so there's no hope. But the truth says, Jesus, what you say is true. And what did he say? He said, I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. He said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. When sickness is speaking into your life and saying, it's the end of it all, what does the scripture say? The scripture says, the outward man is being destroyed day by day, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. The truth is, you can't destroy me because I'm more than a body. The only one that can is God himself, and he's for me, and he loves me, and so he will heal me. He'll take care of me. I walk in joy. Why? Because the darkness is a lie, but Jesus is true. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you stand in the house of God today? My great joy is not circumstance driven. My great joy is love birthed. It's the love of God that's been birthed inside of me that gives me joy to know that I am not alone and that I won't be forsaken and that no matter what comes my way, he's with me. He'll walk through the shadows with me. There may be a land of shadows all around me, but Lord, you're my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? Hallelujah. I won't be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by noon. Why? Because Jesus, you're with me. You're faithful and you love me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. God wants us to let him love us today. And so as we're closing today, I really believe that God just wants to shed his love into our spirits so that the light and joy of this time of year can be refreshed. Would you be vulnerable today in the presence of God and not feel the pressure to posture that you don't feel darkness pushing in on you? Would you be okay enough to admit that you're human? That's all I'm asking. We're human. I feel the pressures in my life at times. Some seasons are more pressure-filled than others. Some of us have had different hurtful experiences in our life that are still trying to inform our life. But I'm here to tell you that God loves you. I want to read John chapter number 15, verses 9 through 13. Just remember, this is the darkest hour of the history of the earth, really. We're hours from the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. They've sat in darkness and seen a great light, and now, from all measurements of physical understanding, that light is about to be snuffed out. That light was about to be snuffed out. And so with it in their mind, every hope of a future,
everything they'd invested in. They were all in. They truly believed the biblical way. They were all in on Jesus. They'd left everything to follow Jesus. And now they're hearing their master say, I'm about to be crucified. The pressure's coming in. Perhaps their past failures are echoing in their mind. You made bad decisions before Jesus. Now you're just seeing that there's another bad decision you're about to face. Maybe all of the nobody voices in their life that said you're a nobody, that you don't matter, and nothing going to amount of your life, that was being suppressed as the hope of Jesus was speaking into their lives. But now, as they're seeing Jesus pressed in, they're thinking, oh, maybe those lies are true. But Jesus spoke into their lives, and he said, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is the commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than that a man lay down one's life for his friends. And so today, I'm just opening these altars that you would come and just say, Jesus, let your love shine in. God, Lord, there's all of the voices of fear. There's the voices of depression and confusion that are all around in this world. But Lord, I want your joy. So God, let me learn to abide in your love. Let me, oh God, let you love me. Hallelujah. That's some times hard work, but oh God, help us to get to where it's not as hard work to just say, Jesus, let me, oh God, embrace your love. Let me let your love shine into my life. Hallelujah, Jesus. He loves you today.